Please let's open our Bibles to start today from the book of John chapter 11. Now we have been talking about creative power, and there's a reason why I want to conclude today. I have to conclude today because today's our last meeting for this season. So it just makes sense to leave it at this particular level. Alright? Now, so we have been talking about creative power, and among the things that we have seen, very importantly, is that there is a wisdom and there is a power of God. And that the advantage of the believer is that he has access to the wisdom and the power of God. And that God didn't just say, let the earth come forth with the fullness thereof. He didn't do that. He said that, first let there be light, and he went step by step in creating everything. And we said the importance of that for us to understand is that there is a wisdom in it. That is, he first checks one thing, he ensures that that thing is good, and as a result of that, he goes to the next level. And that when God wants to use us on this earth to produce something that is great, what he will do is also show us the wisdom concerning what we are going to do for him. Please, let's not forget that what God intends to do on the earth is to create mighty and great things on the earth through us. That we are not supposed to be complainers. That the fact that something is not working does not mean that God has not sent us into that particular situation. I hope you understand the point I'm making. Yes, it's not working. It's not ideal. It doesn't make any difference. That is why you are there as a child of God, as a servant of God, as one that has the Spirit of Christ, that you use the attitude of God to solve problems for the earth. Do you follow the point I'm making? That nobody ever campaigned for an elective office using his campaign slogan on the fact that the earth is so good, so let's just come together and enjoy it. No, he always identifies what is wrong, and based upon what he has identified, he tells you what he plans to do about it. And once he has said that one to you, then he tells you, give me the opportunity. You know, so you judge whether you will give him the opportunity or not on how much he picked out something that is not in order and what he's planning to do about that which is not in order. That is a mark of greatness, therefore, is not in being able to escape from that which is bad, but being able to look at chaos and create order out of chaos. And that is what it means to be a child of God. Now, I want to end this series, and of course, these are our meetings for the year, on this particular note. Reading from the book of John is something that we have seen again and again. But Peter said that, though I know you know it, I will not neglect to remind you of them. The book of John chapter 11. The story here is that of the death of Lazarus. And you know that Jesus was told, they sent a message to him in verse 3, that Lazarus was sick, and then he told his disciples, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? That the Son of God may be glorified in this particular sickness. All right? The Bible emphasizes in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha and her sister, that's Mary, and of course their brother, Lazarus. But even though he loved them so much, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there for another 2 days. And then he now said to disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples were worried about his safety. Then in verse 9 he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. Then he emphasized to them, our friend Lazarus, verse 11, has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. Then disciples did not understand he was not talking about literal sleep. So he had to emphasize or explain to them plainly in verse 14 that Lazarus is dead. Now this is where my notes begin, verse 15. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. He said, but let us go to him. That is, let's go to Lazarus. Now, Thomas said, let's go also so that we may die with him. Now, this is where I'm going to. The raising of Lazarus. In verse 17, he said, when he got there, he found out that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, verse 18, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Please, let me just try and rush, please. Then he now said, let's continue reading. If, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. She thought he was talking about resurrection and said that I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said, that's a mistake. Resurrection does not have to do really with a day. It has to do with the presence of the person that carries the power of resurrection. Do you get the point? That is, in the last day, people will rise up from the dead because Jesus was going to appear in his glory. And that Jesus, with his glory, was present here. So he said, don't wait for resurrection on a particular day, but resurrection will be anytime the person that has the power of resurrection shows up. I hope you are getting the point there. So he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in me will live even though he dies. That is, even though he has died and his body is subject to death, yet from inside, Paul said, it will be renewed and life will be given back to it. That is his body. He now said, and anyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Now, please, let's just go on. I want to jump down to a few verses. Now, in verse 32, therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. The Bible says that Jesus wept in verse 35. Then the Jews noticed how much he loved him. Then please, let's not worry about what the Jews said. When he now got to verse 39, he said, remove the stone. That was the instruction that Jesus gave them. And Mary explained that the fact that she has been dead for 4 days means that there will be a stench at this particular time. But Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Please follow me. Jesus was laying some points here. Number one, we have seen what he said about the matter of resurrection. That is, things can die in life. There is not necessarily an appointed day for their resurrection. But at any time, the person that carries the power of resurrection, the power of God to resurrect things that were dead, once that person shows up, then that is the day of the resurrection of that particular event, object. I don't know whether what I'm saying makes sense. That is, it is not that a particular day has come. No, it is that a particular person has arrived. And now please, let me explain this. The Holy Spirit has been helping me to understand again in recent times the central core of Christianity. What Paul said was his goal. When he said, I'm going towards a particular goal, that there was a reason that Jesus apprehended me. And I want to make sure I apprehended that thing for which reason he apprehended me. And what he was saying was that he wanted to reach a point where he would be able to experience what the Bible calls the power of his resurrection. I hope you are getting my point. And that's what Jesus was teaching here. That listen, something dies. That is a matter of fact. In this life, things will die. But what we decide whether they will live again or not is whether the person that has attained the power of the resurrection of Christ Jesus appears on the scene. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, anything can wake up again if the power of resurrection appears. And when Paul was explaining that as Christians, that's what should be our goal. And you know, I was thinking about it. It's something, well, you know, every day you have experiences. I thought about money again in life and material and this quest for material gain that people go after. And I realized again that is a serious distraction for the people of God. That is, and let me say it again, it is actually extremely dangerous for us to lay so much emphasis on acquisition of material wealth in the body of Christ. The reason is that it takes people away from the focus, from the center of Christianity. Do you get my point? That it's not about wealth. It is about attaining the power of his resurrection. It's about getting to the exact image of Christ Jesus. Let me explain this again about the person of Jesus Christ. When he came to the earth, the Bible makes it very clear that he left aside his glory. People said when he was on earth, he was fully God and he was fully man. I said that is not based on scripture. On earth, he was fully man and nothing else. Are you getting my point? That was why he used to ask questions. That was why he was afraid of pain. The Bible said he learned obedience from suffering. You must get my point. He learned obedience from the things that he suffered. The Bible said in the days of his flesh, he prayed with loud cries to him who was able to deliver him from death. Are you getting the point? And that he was heard because he feared. Look, we have misunderstood the person of Jesus Christ, so it doesn't help us to know how to relate with him and his word and the things that he preached. Now listen, Jesus was a person. He said, I know he was God from the beginning, but when he came down to the earth, he misbehaved as a child and needed to be flogged. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. No, you must get this point. That is, he had to grow. The Bible said he grew in stature and in wisdom. And as he was increasing in wisdom, he was increasing in favor with God. If you are increasing in something, that means there's a particular time you were low and then you went up to a high level. Is that not clear? Do you get my point? He increased, the Bible said, in favor with God and with man. I'm explaining something. That there is a power of... Let me use another expression. There is a point he was getting to. He was growing in power. He was growing in his personality. He was increasing in his knowledge of God. And he was increasing in his experience of the power of God in his personal life. And he said he left a door. He left a way. Listen, this is what he did. He opened that door so that everyone who believes in him can walk through that particular pathway. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, the Bible says that what he was doing was to bring many sons to glory. That God had to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. What I'm trying to say is this. That Jesus left an example for us to walk in. That is, if you walk in my example, you will attain to the place that I attained. A time came, James and John came to him and said, grant that we might sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom. He now explained to them that it's not just by relating with me. You must drink the cup that I'm going to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized. Are you getting the point I'm making? This is Christianity. God wants to pour his living power, the ability for somebody to get to the presence of a dead Lazarus and raise him up again from the dead. He wants to pour it into people. And this is what Satan does. Listen, in life, please, let me tell you the truth. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. You know what it means to beware? When you see something, be afraid. It might kill you. That is, it can derail you from the center of the gospel. It can derail you from the thing that God really wants you to attain. What Satan tries to do in life is to give you the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When he makes that thing the central core of Christianity, and I noticed that Jesus always warned about, there are two things that he said competes for the heart of God, for the heart of men with God. He said one is other men, and two is what? Mammon. Material things. Those are the things that compete. I'm explaining something here. That is the central goal of Christianity is that we should attain to a particular image. When we're talking about the image of Christ, I explain these things in detail. That we should attain to that particular image. That's the central goal. And what Satan tries to do with the things you see in life is to distract us away from that quest, from that passion of the heart of God. You know, tell that, look, this is what's most important. You know, I know I'm digressing, but let me just explain something here. Before I get back to that issue, you know, I'm going to explain something about the person of Christ Jesus and how come he raised Lazarus from the dead. When he said, I am the resurrection and the life, I want to explain to us that it was an attainable position and that was what Paul was trying to attain. Do you get my point? Paul was trying to attain that, and I want Christians to know that everybody is supposed to attain to it, because without that, you cannot effectively create for God on the earth. We complain every time about things that are bad. God said the only way it will be changed is when somebody who has attained to the power of resurrection gets to that position. They say, I know one day Nigeria will be good. He said, you don't understand. I am the resurrection and the life. It is not one day. It's when the right person appears. And in this particular sphere, I am the right person. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, you know, I was saying something. I said, let me just clarify this so I can explain this. You know, sometimes when people criticize, you know, the other day I had a discussion with a man, a professor. And I guess it's not often he encounters Christians that know what they are saying. You know, we're talking about philosophies. We mentioned this person, mentioned that person. I said, look, me too, I have read a bit. He said, don't be narrow-minded. You know, later on I thought about it. I said, there's nobody on earth that's not narrow-minded. You know what narrow-minded? The doctor is narrow-minded where the traditional healer is. Isn't he? It is. That is, when you have truth, and that's what Jesus said, narrow is that one that leads to life. So narrow-mindedness is the way of God. Do you follow my point? Is when you are broad-minded, you will not go far in life. You have to broad-minded look at everything and then choose a narrow way that leads you to life. That's what Jesus said. So anyway, the point is that his own idea of being broad-minded is to believe in everything. You know, Confucianism, Zoroastrianism, this and that. He mentioned everything. I told him, Oga, what I have found out is that in everything, all right, the central point, where what nobody else was able to attain, all right, the person that attained it, his name is Jesus Christ. He said, look, some of the things that Zoroaster preached it centuries before. I said, so what? It only goes to say it is true. Do you understand my point? Jesus never claimed to be the first person to say there is God. He never claimed it. Now, please, I'm coming to something. Now, a lot of us Christians, when we criticize things, it is because we really have no understanding. We think that we are so good as Christians that we are not carried away by some of these things that happen maybe in Eastern religion and some religions of the world. But the reality is that we don't even know what they are talking about. Let me explain what I'm going to say. You know, having contemplated again and again and thought about many things in life, I have now understood again why. And let me say this, please, before I go on. Those who were around for our School of Bible Exegesis last year will know what I'm talking about. Now, if it's somebody who's a Buddhist now, you will say the person is lost. Do you get my point? Why? Just because he doesn't believe like you do. I'm not saying the person is not lost. I'm coming to something. Now, this is my personal persuasion. Are you getting my point? It is not possible on earth to know whether Buddha himself was lost or he wasn't. As of today, you can't tell. I have my reason for saying that. I read his story, and I realized that the man was going for something that people before him were going for, but he reached a level beyond all of them. So he began to teach them his light. There is a problem. When one person receives light like that, for his light to work for other people, in summary, he has to die for them. I don't know whether you get my point. And he has to die a sinless death for them. Nobody else did it. Now, get my point. Buddha attained a level of light. It helped him, possibly. But it's impossible to pass it on to another person. So by the time he reaches the next generation, whatever, if God blessed him, I don't know. If God blessed the man, it's impossible to tell two generations after. Because the Bible says that John had the light and you rejoiced in his light for a season. You can only rejoice in another person's light for a season. Jesus is the only person that became the light of the world so that for eternity, people could rejoice in his light. Am I confusing you? Are you getting my point? That is, you see, so those guys, when they talk, I watched them, read a number of things. The day I sat down and watched these Ekanka people talk, and they're talking about the God-man. When they talk about the God-man, I was excited inside me because before then, I had understood the meaning of the God-man from Scripture. And I saw people looking for the God-man when the God-man had already come. What they are trying to do is that they say in each particular generation, there is somebody who is the representation of God on earth, who actually is in union with God. Now, that thing, you know, the interesting part is very, very true. It's very, very, very true. But the mistake they made is that when Jesus attained union with God, he never died. He died and rose again. The Bible says he ever lived to make intercession. So that his generation has not ended. Are you getting my point? Listen, if I wish some of these guys would come and sit down, let us talk. They are used to talking to ignorant Christians. Do you get my point? Who just come and say, hey, repent or you go to hell. The man doesn't understand the meaning of hell or why God should send somebody to hell. If you come and sit down and talk, look, a man indeed needs union with God. Without it, you cannot reach to God in heaven. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. People needed to go to the Father and they needed a way. Every person before that was looking for a way. Buddha looked for a way. All of them were looking for ways. We don't know the degree of discovery they made concerning discovering God. We don't know. But one thing we know for sure is that only one person was able to clear the way for other people. Each of those people cleared ways, peradventure, for themselves. I don't know whether you get my point. That's why men had to suffer. You hear that they will fast and fast and fast and fast. Look, they said Buddha fasted until his hair fell off. By the time he finished, he said, asceticism does not work. Now, the man declared that asceticism doesn't find a way. That's why because this is in fasting Christianity, we're declaring a 7-day fast. God asked my wife, I don't do it. It's asceticism, I don't believe in it. Look, I said even Buddha found that it doesn't work. When he finally discovered the light he claimed to have discovered, he had added weight. The other people say, what happened? He said, I found the light. They said, no, it's a lie, you are backsliding. He said, this asceticism doesn't work. He said, he fasted so much, somebody thought he was a corpse on the road. He said, his back was like a string of beads for the amount of weight he had lost. I don't know, the guy found out that this asceticism, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. Now, men tried all kinds of things. At this particular point in time, God will give them a bit of light, and he may have blessed them. But it's difficult to pass on to another generation. But the Bible said concerning the Jews that to them were committed what? The oracles of God. The words that God had to speak for the whole of mankind to be blessed by. And Jesus was the only one. You see, let me tell you something. Those words were sealed. What am I preaching today? I don't know. Those words were sealed. Are you getting my point? They were sealed to be able to understand them. You know, John the Beloved got to heaven. And they said there was no one worthy to open the book. Let me explain what they mean. After all the fastings and fastings of the book of the likes of Buddha and people who lived before Jesus Christ, none was found worthy. After all the obedience of Moses, none was found worthy. Not only in Israel. We thought they looked only in Israel. They looked all over the world. Men did good works, did everything strove for God. None was found worthy. That was why John began to cry. You don't understand that billions of people are trying to open a door. Nobody can open it. You know why John cried? It was a sign of hopelessness that the whole of the generations of mankind was doomed. Then the angel said, wait. The lamb, I get my point. That lamb that was slain has prevailed. He said, don't weep anymore. Look at the Lamb of God. Are you getting my point? The one that was slain, that he is now worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive that book and open the seals thereof. Listen, that's what Christianity is. That is, when you see, the Bible says, look, let me tell you what. A man one day walked. I read the story. It was Buddha's story where I read this. He said, it was beside the waters one day. And there was a man who had practiced what they call austerity, a particular form of mystic behavior. He came up to Buddha and said, after 20 years of practicing austerity, now I can walk across water. So Buddha looked at him and said, a fairy will have done it for you for 1 shilling. That is, took 20 years of intense labor to do that. The Bible said he had opened a door, many sons coming up to glory. If God needs you to walk across water in 1 second, he'll say, you, come. Are you getting my point? He'll just say to Peter, come. Normally, you will have needed to strive for 20 years to do it. But a word from Jesus Christ will say, you, come. And you put your foot on top of water, you will float. Do you get my point? That is the knowledge of God we are talking about. The other time I talked about the law of the pioneer. That something may be difficult to do. You know, like to make the first bulb. J.T. Edison was there for months trying. Then finally it worked. Now, anybody can make a bulb. Secondary school, you do experiments. And you make your own incandescent bulb. It doesn't take time. Why? Because there's what I call the law of the pioneer. Once one person does something, everybody else that tries after finds it easy. Do you get my point? That was what Adam did concerning sin and what Jesus did concerning righteousness. Let me explain. I talked about the principle of Job, that Job suffered as a pioneer for the Christians. That is, not everybody has to suffer like Job to get the blessing of Job. All you need to do is suffer a little. Suffer what? A little. And respond like Job. And God takes it that you have put your feet on the path of Job. All you need to do is suffer a little. And respond like Jesus Christ. And God said, everything that Jesus attained to is yours. Is what? Is yours. Are you getting my point? That's just it. So for the believer, the Bible now talks about justification by what? By faith. Actually, everything that Jesus was able to get as a person on the earth is now available for anyone. Are you getting my point? Who will be justified by faith in Christ Jesus? Now, let me now get back to what I'm going to say about the goal of Christianity. Paul said, now we have found the way. If you read that Romans, which we're studying as full of Bible exegesis till now, what Paul was trying to explain is that it is the same way for Jew or Gentiles or Buddhists or Hindus. Are you getting my point? Anybody on the earth, there is just one way. That all of them are united under sin. That's why they were struggling in the first place. Are you getting my point? But Jesus is now the way to the Father. And this is how justification comes. It is by faith in that Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not about religion. It's about truth. Let me explain what I'm saying. There is no religion called penicillianism. Have you ever heard of it? Or penicillianity? So what are you talking about? Penicillin. Anybody who uses penicillin, is it person now a penicillian? Penicillin kills bacteria. Simple. There is no... I don't know whether you get my point. It's not about religion. It's not about religion. There's no religion called clean waterism. Bad water is bad. Clean water is good. Do you get my point? That's how Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is not a religion. Even though you were a Muslim in the center of Iran, if you call upon the name of Jesus, you will be saved right there. I don't know whether I get my point. You know why? It's like somebody, maybe those days suffering, and then they flew penicillin. He was infected. They had the wound infected. They now flew penicillin in. It works. It works. It has nothing to do with whether you are in the church of penicillin users. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That is, what we call religion is not what Jesus was teaching. He was talking about life. 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 That is, if you attain to his glory, let's get back to our message. Then when situations are dead, what God does is to take one of the sons that has attained to glory and put him in there. They say, which day will God answer us? He says, it's not a matter of day. It's the arrival of the person. Now I have come. Do you follow my point? I have come. He said, behold, I will send them a savior and a champion. And through that person, I will deliver them. I explained, was it last week, that only one person was necessary to pull the whole of Israel out of Egypt. And that was Moses. Aaron didn't know what Moses was talking about. He was just a parrot. Whatever he told Aaron to do, he did it. Joshua and Caleb, they were trained on the way. Miriam, senior sister, spirit. It was okay. Are you getting my point? Apart from those people, I don't know anybody else who understood God. That was why none of them entered into the promised land. God needed only one person to pull them out. Do you follow the point I'm making? What I'm saying, does it make sense to you? That I'm explaining something here, that there was a position that Christ attained, and there are things we need to do to be united with him in that attainment. And that is a matter of faith. That's a matter of a close walk with God. Now, know why that's starting from the book of John? I hope you have understood what I've said. Now, so in the book of John, what happened? When Jesus was going to the tomb of Lazarus, in verse 41, let's start from 40. He said, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Then, so they removed the stone. That was verse 41. He said, so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. He said, but because of these people standing, that is, what he was saying is that I didn't need to say it out loud, that you have heard me. This thing came to my mind again. I said, a lot of our confessions we make, they are good, but they are actually expressions of doubt while trying to confess faith. I don't know whether you get my point. What Jesus was saying, that for me to shout, Father, I know you have heard me, it smacks of doubt. So I have to explain to God why I was shouting it. That is, God would think that, what's wrong with you? Why are you talking like that? He said, no, sir, it's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's because of these people that are listening. And I said, he said, because of the people standing around, I said it. Listen to this. So that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. That is, until now he was bound. He came forth because I said so. Do you get my point? The power in my words lifted him up from where he was and dropped him at the door. Are you getting my point? He said, now I'm binding him so I can move further. Now, this is the point I'm making here. He said that I have said this loud so that these people may know that God, that you sent me. At the beginning, he told the disciples, this sickness is not supposed to result in death. He said, but for your sake, I'm glad I didn't get there. Because if I got there, we couldn't watch him die. You understand the point? Because of the power of what? Resurrection. Once we reach there, it must necessarily result in his healing. Please get the point. I was explaining something earlier, that this position that Jesus attained, we have looked at it in our theology as if it was a special gift of God. Let me explain it again. It wasn't a special gift of God because of the circumstances of his birth. It was a gift of God given to anyone who walked with that level of faith with God. Do you get my point? That's one thing I want us to understand. These were the things that people... No, Peter was writing. He said when the prophets were prophesying, they were wondering what they were prophesying about. He said, was it Paul or Peter that said, these are things that angels sought to look into. That is, the angels wanted to get a glimpse of it. When the prophets were prophesying, even they knew that there was something that they were saying that was beyond them. Are you getting my point? See, that discussion I had with that old man, what started it was that somebody talked about rapture. And he said that in his fiction. And I said, sir, he said, I'm as much a Christian as you are. I said, sir, that statement, I very much doubt it. I said, you cannot be the kind of Christian that I am and say the words of Jesus is fiction. To him, it's an imagination. Somebody will just rise up into the sky. Until they clone Dolly, it had never happened before. Are you getting my point? There's a first time for everything. Please, follow what I'm going to say. There is a first time for everything. Now, until certain things happened, they didn't happen. That's why we say there's a first time. And people, when something has not yet happened, they think that the thing cannot happen. What I'm going to explain. Before Jesus came, people had ideas in their minds which were beyond most people's imaginations. Let me tell you as an example. God told the children of Israel, let me summarize like this. If those guys went to battle and things were okay, they were not walking in sin. If 50 people went into battle against 10,000 people, at the end of the battle, they will number the number of Israelites that came back and they will be exactly 50. When Ronald Reagan decided to bomb Tripoli, he used F-111 jets, supersonic jets. To my surprise, at the end of the day, Gaddafi managed to shoot one down. There were 20-something, about 20 jets that went to bomb Tripoli. Do you know that the defense of Libya shot at least one down? But you know the disparity in their power. Yeah, they shot one down. That is what they are saying. Iraq, you know, America is so powerful now, yet if you check the casualty they are counting by the day in Iraq, as powerful as they are, yet, according to divine order, if the Jews will send 50 people into battle against 1,000, not one should die. Now, those were things that angels wanted to look into. Say, are you sure? The prophet said, please explain. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Now, a few people had ideas about that. So they will come to Jesus and say, what must we do that we might gain eternal life? I remember the story I read of John G. Lake, one of the men I admired the most in life. He was treating people who were infected with plague, very contagious disease. They said, let's give you immunization. He said, it's not necessary. That once the bacteria touches my skin, they die. Now, that's what we hear and say is fiction. And they checked and it was true. Do you get my point? I remember one of our brothers, those days had an accident, that was in Benin. And the leg was gangrenous, and the surgeon said to go and amputate. And brethren heard, and they said no, and they began to pray. This guy was under anesthesia. They were ready to amputate. When they put the knife to the skin, the leg began to move. The surgeon checked. At the end of the day, they decided that it's not necessary to amputate this leg. Next time I saw the guy, the leg was in the cast, but it was not amputated. That's what is called life. The same surgeon who decided this leg should go, he went into a theater and discovered that some people outside refused to sleep because of the leg he was about to cut. How did he know? When he got there and found that what he judged that it was dead had come back to life again. Please, do you follow the point I'm making? That is, now these are the stories somebody will hear and say, it's fiction. When I tell him that one day people will be caught up in the sky, my brother, it has never happened before. So it's okay to call it fiction. Are you getting my point? But when you believe the words of Jesus, you know that even if you don't understand, he doesn't joke. Are you getting my point? Now, what am I going to explain? So that I'm going to explain that there is a level of power in life, all right, that people have not yet discovered. So when they hear about it, they say it's fiction. You are getting what I'm going to say? Listen, no, this is my own quest. This is the center of my Christianity. Now, it's not play again. You know, I used to say before, it is better to trek into eternal life than drive cars into hell. When I say hell, I don't mean hell as if you die, you are not in torment. That is, you are on earth, you don't have any experience of the power of God. I was telling my wife recently, I said, please find me preachers. I said, I'm tired of listening to Pastor Banky. You know, I mean, how should I listen to myself? Somebody should be teaching me something. I said, I'm tired of every time you put on TV, people are teaching psychology and calling it gospel. People are rationalizing away the works of Satan. They are trying to explain to me why the life of God may not work. And you see, nobody has all the faith. Except it's injected into you, you won't have it. There is something me too I want to attain. I'm a doctor. The other day, my wife saw a skin rash on my baby's skin. First thing that came to my mind is, okay, if you put maybe canestin, or no, use a mild steroid. You know, before I started talking, she was there. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command. I was ashamed. All I did was, amen. You know, now get my point. The reflex in me was what? A cream, a topical preparation, and an oral antihistamine. That's how they teach dermatology. Everyone does this in school. Everything they taught in dermatology, when we're talking about dermatitis and eczema. Treatment, they taught us everything. Seborrheic dermatitis, bone follicles, this and that. At the end of the day, topical steroids and oral antihistamines. Nothing more than that. Then I realized that there is a power of life. Are you getting my point? There is what? A power of life. Which, listen, Paul said, not that I have already attained. That is, the fact that I have not experienced it does not mean it is not real. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Let me give you a small testimony, personal testimony. Now, this used to happen to me. If I don't eat well, I eat erratically for some time, I start having stomach symptoms, you know? So now, usually if it troubles me, I just take a spoon or two of the suspension, mixed magnesium trisilicate. So one day, I think something happened 1 or 2 days, especially when I don't sleep well. Yeah, I found out. If I've been very busy, I've not been sleeping well, my stomach starts reacting. So I woke up in the morning, I was having stomach ache. So I went out that day. Of course, doc, you know how these things work. You just walk to the shop. Okay, I give me one bottle of one gel there, you know, one suspension. So I was in the car. Anytime my stomach troubles, I just, you know, I take a bit of it. Then I walked up here, and I began to preach from Romans, I think, chapter 3. And I was talking about the power of life. When I go back, I said, "What? As God is my witness, that day the stomach said, let's leave this man alone." No, that day I just said, this is the power of life we're talking about. Away with Miss Mag. You know, judging by the very next day, it stopped trouble. That is, he heard. Now, listen, words have power. Sicknesses have ears. Are you getting my point? Sometimes when you're not talking to it, heard what you heard. So before you start attacking, it decides to give you space. Because when you're attacking, you generate more energy. The guy wants to leave your energy. It escapes. It escaped. And you know what happened? That's why I talked about me. I told my wife, please find me preachers. You know what happened? I preached and I heard what I preached and I was healed by the power of the words that I preached. How often will I listen to myself? It's not good. So I told my wife, I said, please find me preachers. I need to hear the gospel. You know what I'm going to explain? Because indeed, this gospel has what? Power. It does. Listen to me, it heals the sick and it literally raises the dead. You know, all we like to preach now is how to give money and get more. I'm going to preach the gospel next year to teach you how to throw money away into a well and trek for 5 days barefooted. No, really, because I was telling stories about maybe people like those guys who practice religion and all of that. Why I told their stories that some, you see, sometimes we don't understand. There was a quest in their hearts. Are you getting my point? They didn't have the full understanding. We agree. But at least they were looking for something. God said, I stretched my hands out to those who are not even looking for me. I called to them. They didn't answer me. They were those that God wasn't calling, but they were working hard after God. Believe me, I don't have the details, but after reading a bit about Buddha as a person, I say if he lived after Jesus Christ, he would have believed in him. He did, because the man, the way I saw him, he didn't go out to found the religion. He went out to go and ask questions. He was a royal, he was a prince. And he'll be going on the way, he'll see a sick man. He said, why is that man sick? He said, that is the way destiny has determined it. He said, this destiny was very unfair. Here I am on a horse, healthy. Somebody's lying on the floor, sick and dirty and hungry. And he says, it's the way destiny made it. So the man departed from the palace to go and seek the cure to destiny. I told you the story before. For those of you who read my article, The Supremacy of Christ, of why parts of Kaduna Zaria, why they are Christians. It was because the grandfather of Ishaya Audu, a Muslim cleric, I talked about true seekers. He was seeking for the true God. Therefore, like Cornelius, an angel appeared one day and said, you want to know God? Go down towards the south, a 2-day journey. Second day of your journey, you meet some people coming up towards the north. They will tell you the way to the true God that you wanted to know. That was how you became a Christian. When we're reading from Luke chapter 15, prodigal son story, I read one scripture from New American Standard that the Bible said that the father of the prodigal son said, this your brother that was dead has now begun to what? Live. That is, our being believers, having so-called answered an altar call, has reconciled us to God that we may attain to what people were seeking for. The problem with Christians is that they are not seeking for nothing. We make every excuse for Satan. Are you getting what I'm raising? Because we have read so much. We have read so much about why economics don't work, why in sickness, what, how much power genes have over of the outcome of our lives. And especially if you are a doctor, you have accepted it as true. You know what I'm preaching? That there is a power. Listen, if it is genes that we are talking about, all of us came from somewhere. We're all children of the same father in Noah. How come our genes are so varied? Some are white. They're all children of Noah. Is that not so? Every other person perished in the flood, apart from the descendants of Noah. Some are black. Some are short. Some are tall. How come? You know the reason? Because there is a spiritual force. The spirit is more powerful than the matter. Are you getting my point? And when God wants to move people in one particular direction, or when their iniquity is bringing judgment to their lives, it affects their genes. But that's not my story. My gospel really is the fact that if it can move one way, it can move the other. Are you getting my point? Now understood why God said, why John said, when we see him, all of us will now begin to look like him. Are you getting my point? All the genes will be rearranged and you go back to one father from which all of you came. Are you getting my point? And I want Christians to understand that. So if genes say, in your family, people, one in every 3 women will have breast cancer. You say, who will deliver us? When? He said, it is not when. I am the resurrection and the life. Let me explain that thing to you. Jesus was not laying, I hope you won't think this is heresy. Jesus was not laying claim that only me can be resurrection and the life. The Bible said he opened the doors to bring many sons to glory. That is, every child of God to walk into a situation. He said, in this house, people die very early. He said, that was them. He said, now I am the resurrection and the life. Are you getting my point? Because I have believed in Jesus Christ, I have condemned death in this house. Do you get the point I'm making? That is how life changes. That is, I'm talking about creative power. That is what overturns things in life. But you know, we turn Christianity to play Sunday joke. Sunday entertainment. I hate my time being wasted when I'm supposed to go for a service. I don't like it. Not because I have anything against playing. Like I told you last time, if it's playtime, go to where they are showing UEFA Cup, Gouda. Buy a bottle of Gouda. Sit down there and be shouting Ronaldo also. And drinking Gouda. We know we are playing. But when we enter the presence of God, he said, watch your feet. Are you getting my point? Don't carry any joke into that place. No, I'm serious. If you want to play, go to Polo Park. You know it is played. But when you enter church, because, see, without the injection of the word of God, we can't experience the power of God. And listen, until we experience, now when I say experience, individually, you know what most people like? If I say this, it will amaze you. Many of the things that we do, I was discussing with my wife a few days ago. I said, many of the things that we do, do you know it's amazing? John the Baptist, let me leave John out. Jesus never preached it. Paul didn't preach it. Now, let me explain what I say. It's not as if it didn't happen. But it wasn't the center of what they were preaching. Jesus was preaching a gospel. He was trying to bring one. He was trying to bring people in union with the Father. To declare his word. Jesus was not trying to heal everybody and have a good crusade. He was trying to make disciples. So that all of them would come into unity. Like he was one with God. That they might attain oneness with God. Do you get my point? And the same thing Paul and Co were doing. But we tend to encourage the worship of one man of God. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. A friend of mine was telling me about his church recently. He said he just got tired. Everybody, they give microphones, say, you know, the grace upon this man of God. He said he got tired. We grew up in the same setting, so I can understand. That before, he was telling him that what's all these noise they are making? Before I came to this church, I was a grown-up Christian. I grew up somewhere. Why are you making it look as if we cannot be anything except for the grace upon this man of God? Now, please, let me say what I'm going to say. This is a point there. That if we don't encourage everybody, are you getting my point? To come into that experience, we want to be dishing it out to them. When you are sick, come. I am anointed to heal your sickness. When you are confused, come. I am anointed to give you direction. Listen, those things are good for babies. Are you getting my point? Can I get you to testify that he couldn't get old Christians healed? It was hard. Baby Christians, no problem. Unbelievers, small thing. Just come. Bam, it's gone. Lay hands. He said, but the older the people were as Christians, the harder it was. He had many explanations to give it. But the main explanation was that they were trying to use what did not belong to babies. Like, I'm hungry now. And I tell my wife, please, can you please mix a cup of ISO meal for me to drink? I am hungry. You know, as soon as I finish drinking it, as soon as I finish, I'll become hungry again. Nothing wrong with the ISO meal. Nothing wrong with my stomach. The problem is that my stomach something bigger. I mean, pound the yam. Are you getting my point? Lace the vegetables on one side. Put meat there. Let me chew it. The Bible says strong meat belong unto them that are mature. Even the Bible says it. Milk is for babies. Something we want to popularize as preachers is milk for what? Babies. But the gospel of God for adults is that we should reach up to a place where we become the solution to every other problem around. That is, once a family has a Christian, they are saved. Do you get my point? That is the plan of God. Look, I like one testimony. Ken Hagin shared once. He said a preacher came to his house and he saw the man carrying injection and stuff. Now, what is that? He said, anytime I test my blood sugar, my urine sugar, if it's too high, I have to take a shot. He's like, are you serious about that? He said, okay, you know what's going to happen? As long as you stay in my house, you will not test sugar in your urine. You will not find sugar in your urine. As long as you are in this house, you won't find it. The man kept on testing. For 4 or 5 days he stayed in that house, he didn't find it one day. Those are the things I read, and I knew that these things are spirits. As soon as he left the house, he started testing positive for sugar again, and continued his insulin. You know, Novahis had a daughter. You know, when he became a preacher, his wife walked out on him. Kenneth Hagin was a very good friend. Now, he said that one of those days, Kenneth Hagin came to his house and his daughter had what? You know what they call what? Had what on her fingers, and they were quite unsightly. He said Hagin looked at it. He wasn't there then, you know. Maybe he went out somewhere. So Hagin and the daughter were sitting in the sitting room. So he just looked at it. He said, what are those? He said, what? He said, just told the girl that I could curse them and they would die. But he didn't do it. He just said it and left it. And then I think the daughter told him or something. So that was the first time he noticed that his daughter had what on her hands. And God was actually very angry with him that he was being quite negligent. So you know what he did? He now took the word of God. He settled down and decided to kill the what. Not with any medicine, not with any other thing. He just took God's word and studied it and spoke against the words and they died. You understand what I mean by the power of life? The problem we have, which is what I'm trying to teach today. See, when Jesus came to raise Lazarus, it was to show that he had attained a particular position. He did not raise Lazarus the same way he raised the son of the widow of Nain. That was just an outburst of the anointing. This one was a deliberately concocted occurrence. That Lazarus is sick. All right, leave him. Let him die. I don't know whether you get the point. Normally, he will have sent the word only, and maybe his servant will have been healed. Lazarus, the Bible kept on emphasizing, and he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Yet, they said Lazarus is sick. Instantly, he knew, he had this word of knowledge inside him that this guy is going to progress and die within 2 days. And after that, we'll go and raise him up. So if you don't want him to die, we have to go now. Therefore, he tarried 2 more days. So that by the time he walked the distance back to the place, the man had been dead for 4 days. And before then, he told the disciples, he swore to make a point to all of you. Because you have to testify about me. You have to preach this gospel to the whole earth. So you must have an assurance. There are things that you are sure of already. You have been on the Mount of Transfiguration. You have seen the same, but I want you to be absolutely certain of what we are talking about. Therefore, we will wait for Lazarus to be properly dead. Dead and rotting. Are you getting my point? Before we get back there. He said, it is not for my sake. I am not in doubt as to what position I occupy with God. It's so that the rest of you will understand it. So when he got there, he simply told the Lord, Lazarus, I'm going to leave him to die, but Lord, when I get there, you will raise him up again for me. You would release that dose of power to bring a man that was dead for 4 days back to life. And the father said, no problem. He said, fine. He said, the father judges no man but has committed all judgment to the son. What he was saying is, it's not a matter of I've given birth to you and I've destined you. From next week, I'm going to preach on radio on predestination. It's as if I have destined you to have that power. No. You have walked with me into a position of having that power. Are you getting my point? So he said, no problem. So he allowed Lazarus to die to make a point. Do you get my point? And I explained something to you earlier, that there is no day of salvation. It's when the person of salvation arrives that's the issue. There's no like a day. This is the day of resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Even the last day you are talking about, resurrection will happen because I'm showing up. I don't know if you get my point. They won't just rise up because it is now time. No, they will rise up when I show up. What am I saying? Many things are dead in life. That's the creative power we are talking about. It's not just about shouting. I said something before, that words carry what? A spirit. The intensity of the power in the words is dictated by 2 things. Number one, the person talking. That's what we're talking about, righteousness. And number two, the assurance he has concerning what he's saying. Those 2 things dictate the amount of power in every word that's spoken. But a lot of times we just talk. He said, we just quote the word of God. We just quote. Just argue with God. Give God your points. Listen, Moses did not read all the scripture we know. But because of his walk with God,
God said, let me kill them. He stood there. He said, God, to kill them, you have to pass through me first. And I say, no. Please, are you getting my point? You are getting the point I'm making. So, you see, so for God to do things on the earth, he needs people who can prophesy according to his desires. Please, are you getting my point? That's so when God wants to do something, the people have worked with him to a particular level. Therefore, they carry power in their hands. That's what I'm saying. Look, listen, it's not just about preachers. We are used to the laying on of hands on heads to cure sicknesses. Listen, the same hands laid on machines. If the engineer in that company had the anointing and they work with God, he would lay hands on machine and they will stop breaking down anyhow. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. They will look and say, how do we do this building? Nothing like this has been designed. The man lays hand on the paper, and as soon as he falls asleep, a picture comes in his mind. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that when people say something is impossible, the guy says, what did you say? Impossible. He said, there's a man in your company whose name is Daniel. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Everybody has been there and said, there is a man in your company. Have you asked him? And let me tell you something about the power of life. To the man who has it, he's actually not struggling. You know, Daniel walked into that place and looked. He said, what's the problem? He said, the handwriting of the wall. He said, it's a simple thing. Do you want me to read it loud? Which language do you want me to read it for you in? No, get my point. It was clear. So all of you can see this. Okay, I just knew we're all blind. He said, so what is the issue? I will give you anything. Forget. Your kingdom is passing away. Whatever you give me won't last night. So that is the second one. Can't you see? I mean, a king that's passing away said, I'll make you minister. He's a rich minister. As one king goes, all the ministers follow him. Don't be so. Are you getting my point? Listen, I said before that Daniel never prayed to interpret any problem. Never. Not one day. So what about the dream? He said he only prayed to know the dream. They went to the king. That was the dream. The king said, I have forgotten the dream. Anyone who wants to interpret it should first tell me the dream. That was the only time Daniel prayed about solving an issue. He said, God, well, we don't know the dream. Then after he prayed, God now showed him the dream. As soon as he saw the dream, he had interpretation. I explained it for those are doses of life. Doses here and there. And the mistake we have made, I keep on saying, is that we think that only the preacher is the minister. Are you getting my point? So all of you have come to Ghana, you have come to listen to Pastor Banky. Listen, when you go to work on Monday, are you getting my point? There are people that have gathered to listen to you also. Clients are coming to listen to you. Do you follow what I'm saying? You work in a company, clients are coming to listen to you. You work in a school, students have gathered to listen to you. And once we tap into life in each particular area, then the engineer will look, they say, this machine is always breaking down. Look, wisdom, we've talked about wisdom and what? Power. He will just look and say, this is the problem. Do this, do this, do this. When it is hard for him to solve, he will go look at the machine. Let me have the draft, or let me have the blueprint. You know, I said, look, life is not a mistake. It's not an accident. As soon as he puts it, these are spiritual issues. The Holy Spirit moves his eyes to the area where the defect is situated. And he just said, come, dismantle that area for me. Bring that equipment. He said, this one is too complicated. I will replace it with 2 iron rods and 3 knots. After that, it will not happen again. That is life in the brain of what? An engineer. It's not only preachers that have it. Preachers are supposed to equip the saints to do such works, every aspect of life. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, that's what Christianity is. And that's why I want to leave us with this as we are closing this year. That listen, it is not about struggling to achieve in life or to build a big ministry. Let me talk for preachers. No, it's struggling. Because Paul said, labor to enter into rest. Is there anyone that has entered, has ceased from his works? Are you getting my point? I explained that Joseph, Daniel, and Cody didn't struggle to have the ability to decode difficult matter. As soon as you presented it to them, the solution just came out. But it says, struggle to enter into that realm. Are you getting my point? Joseph had to learn obedience from the things that he also suffered. That's what we're teaching on radio, talking about the importance of temptation, that James said, rejoice. You know the word rejoicing? When you enter trial, he said, be happy. When things are going wrong, jump up, say, at least person which was supposed to get some trial, okay? That be happy. He said, because the trial of your faith works what? Patience. He said, once that one has had his perfect work, now you'll be perfect and entire, not lacking in anything. That is, until that trial has finished its work, you are still lacking in something. One of the first things I'm going to do next year is to explain about the release of grace into life. No, we'll talk about it. Let me just end with that. Just simply, I'm closing now, all right? Because we just want to, this is the end of the year, so we shouldn't preach so hard. No, let me tell you what. As Christians, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. That thing is not a lie. It's Satan that tries to make it look like a lie. You know, one of the things you must do for yourself is a prayer. It's a prayer. You will pray the prayer. God, help me to believe you and believe you simply. No, really. Something happened to me in my heart recently. I was just watching money come and go. Money will just come. As it's coming like this, it will just what? Go. As it's arriving, it just go. Like this money, we even stay small. No, they call stay. Someone will say, sir. So a man told me once, okay, I hope you are building a house. I said, no. He said, why not? I said, I don't have money yet for a house. My new testimony is that when I start the house in January, by end of June, in Jesus' name, it must be finished. It's my testimony. And I'm a large man. I don't know whether you get my point. I don't know how to manage. I cannot park from my landlord's big house and park to my own personal tiny house. What is it? So I can say it's my house. What's the problem? I have money to pay the landlord. It's still my house. As long as I paid rent, it's not my house. So I told God that all this struggling, more 2 blocks today, more 3 blocks tomorrow, is not my portion in Jesus' name. And once I say things like that, even if I want to change my mind tomorrow, God no dey agree. No, that's how God has done with me. God no go agree. I said, God, this country is getting harder and harder. Cement has gone from 900 naira to 2005. We should just manage the three room apartment. Just build a BQ. We'll park in there, we'll be building the main house. As soon as you start the BQ, it will collapse. I say, oh boy, park to where you're coming from. Now, let me explain what I'm going to say. I just consider these things. Money come, money go, and all of that. Then a scripture jumped into my head. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let me give you the bankies version of it. God supplies enough money to take care of today's problems. That's the meaning of sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Are you getting my point? I said, look, if I can take that word solidly and hold it like that, you know what Jesus said? You will never lack. That is, instead of spending, as an example, 50 naira a day now, if I decide that so I can build a house under there, I'll be spending 5 naira. All right? One day God will say, if you have spent 50 naira every day, I will still have given you the house at the same time you still got it. Listen, that's grace. I'm trying to bring out something about grace. That's grace. How does that power release into your life so that when you have struggled to build a 3-room small BQ before you build a main house like people try to argue, why is it that in the same period you have taken you to manage that, you will complete something 10 times that size without sweating? That is grace. Are you getting my point? How will it happen? It's simple. Just agree with what Jesus said. Take no thought for the morrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If you will believe that statement simply, power will be released. Listen, where you will have had ideas to make 5 naira, God will give you ideas to make 1 million. Let me tell you the truth. Spiritual things are what? Real. That's why, I told my wife, I said, babe, find me preachers. I want to hear what, because I know what the word does. I know what it does. I know. Because I remember those when I listened to Bishop Oyedepo's Supernatural Living series. I went to show though. Everywhere. Even Satan respected. When sickness is flying up and down, when they jam me like this, they regret him. See, now why you people come here now? See disgrace. Now we have become a testimony. Can you see? I remember the first day I listened to Pastor Kojo. When he preached on the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. That day I went to church. You know, I was wearing white. Brocade or linen, one of these native wears. So, and it rained, so I was walking like this. So that Potopoto no go enter my cloth. When the man finished preaching, this was how I walked home. I didn't care anymore. No, the God of God has power. I didn't care. It was splash it. Ooh, that's it. You never had the sufferings of Christ. What's your problem? No, because I realized that, wait, it's season. And as God lives, since then, my heart has not been moved. And my best people say, people are building houses, so they are doing this. God is my witness, it does not concern me. All I pray about when I wake up in the morning, say, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, next year, we'll begin to declare. See these loudspeakers, they will preach the gospel all over the East. See this amp, you will amplify the gospel. You know, those are the things I declare about every day. We keep declaring about it every day because I know that my bread is assured and my waters will never fail. That's what the Bible says. I am absolutely certain about it. I don't worry about my children's future. It was secured before they were born. Are you getting my point? Listen, there is Bible says those that hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. That's why I say I need good gospel. Because when you hear it, it sets your mind at rest. It does. It doesn't only set your mind at rest, it literally heals your sicknesses. It removes away all your fears. It gives you direction in life. It brings you success where people say you should have experienced failure. The power of God is real. You hear what I said? Paul said, this is what we are going for. That's why if we have any advantage today, tomorrow we consider it a disadvantage. So that we can keep moving higher. There's no aspect of life, believe me, that once you have tapped into this life we are talking about, that you will not feel the effect. You know, you will have arguments. When a judge hears it, he will respect. Do you know what I mean? Respect. That is like, he said, look at this mouth and this wisdom that none of his adversary was able to resist against it. You know, it happens. So Jesus said, that's what we should strive for. Don't labor for that one which perishes. Was that not what he said? He said, labor for the one that endures into what? Eternal life. Look, I just want to end the year with this small gospel. For us to understand that Christianity is not about going to church. It's not about marking register. You hear what I said? It's not about what? Marking register that me too have been to church. At all. It amazes me what I see this is that people call Christianity. It's somewhere between, Orthodox, Catholicism, and Islam. You know, Islam, Judaism. Somewhere, at the end of the day, people just say, okay, this is Christianity. No, really, I honestly just look at it. You know what marks out Christianity? The power of what? Life. That's it. And every day we are turning more to it. That's it. We are getting to know God more and more. Anyway, by which you do that, fine. If it's by jumping and praising, cool. Sitting down and learning, fine. But the thing is, must be that we are getting to know God more and more. And what am I explaining? Take Nigeria as an example. I said resurrection is not a day, as in time. It is when the person that has the resurrection power arrives. It's what? When the person that has the resurrection power arrives. And there is an aspect of life where God said, if you don't get your own resurrection power, that aspect is dead. That's what I'm explaining. Please, I think I have talked enough. Have I said anything today? He said not yet. At least for this season. Next year we'll begin again. Talking about renewing our minds so that we can release the power of grace and getting God's attitude in everything. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, as I close, can we just bow our heads and begin to...